Yo, what's good, East Bear in the building? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Queen Talk. Today's special guest is not a part of the queer community, but is a significant part of my coming out journey. He has been by my side literally since before I turned one. Our parents were roommates, and he is my best friend, my brother. Please help me welcome in Deontay.
Yes, sir. What's good? What's good? I appreciate you having me, bro. I've been waiting to come on here and tell my story.
Oh, yeah. Your story. I have been little bits and pieces of every time I say, yeah, I got outed. This is the person I'm referring to, everybody. outed. And I appreciate you coming on here. What was your initial thoughts of when I asked you to be a part of this?
I was hyped. Yeah, you know, we've been talking about doing the show. I got my own. I've been able to get my reps in with my own podcast and shit. So I was excited to come on here, like I said, to tell my story. Because you're on here telling my part of your story. Nah, they need to hear my story. Yeah.
If you want to just introduce yourself a little bit to the guests.
Yeah, Deontay, a.k.a. Pac-Man Gotti. Pronouns is he. Mr. He gets a lot of money. You know, him.
Oh, my gosh.
Himothy.
And this is Deontay.
That's me. You know I'm going to come on and talk my shit now.
Well, I just wanted to have you on here because, like I said, I feel like it's an important part of my coming out journey. For those of you that don't know, I came out in sixth grade, and Deontay was the first person I told I have a crush on a girl. And ever since that I told him that, he just wanted to tell the world.
The whole world. Everyone needed to know.
Yeah. So why is it that you just wanted, why is it that you, in the time, you didn't know that you were outing me, right?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. So why is it that you thought everybody needs to know my business from you and not from me?
So to be fair, this was a different time in age. Like you said, I didn't know I was outing you. But also, too, you know, back then, I couldn't hold water. Couldn't no one tell me nothing as
facts,
a kid.
Facts.
I couldn't hold water. But really deep down, that's who I knew.
Yeah.
You were my best friend. You know, I loved you. And I wanted everyone to know who my best friend really was. For me, I didn't even know that it was supposed to be a secret. I don't think we had the talk and it was a don't tell anybody. You just
after the first time it was.
Yeah. I realized real quick. I'll never forget because we were in middle school.
Yeah.
It was sixth grade. I remember I think you cried and went to the bathroom or something at school. I remember. And then that's when I realized oh, she don't want people to know.
Yeah.
But I didn't know why I still didn't understand what the big deal was, what the secret was, in my head, because I always knew, you know, growing up, I always knew.
What made you think you knew, without me saying it?
I didn't know what, I guess I didn't, there wasn't really an LGBTQ community then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I just knew growing up that you weren't the typical girl.
Yeah.
And I had never seen you as a girl growing up. We played football. You were stronger than me. I used to hide behind you in fights and shit. You know what I mean? You was beating boys up if they was trying to fight and shit. So I honestly, that was normal to me. In all reality, that's really what it comes down to is you liking girls. When you told me, I already knew because that was normal to me.
Yeah.
And leading up to you actually coming out to me, we used to look at girls in elementary school and stuff. That's why I knew, you know.
Yeah, I would comment the same comments that you and Johnny were making growing up. But you brought up a point that I was going to ask you during this podcast, and is, do you see me as a woman, and why or why not?
So as we've gotten older and you've stepped more into your true self and started identifying yourself more as a woman. Yeah. I knew you were a girl, but I always, as a kid, used to think, I don't know if I ever told you, but I used to always think in my head, I think she was supposed to be a boy and something happened in the pregnancy. Yeah. And like last minute, like she was blessed with the girl parts, you know? Because no, I honestly, I looked at you as a boy, like you were one of the guys, and you still are to me. Like, yeah. I call you bro. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you're still one of the guys to me, but I know you truly walk in purpose of being a woman.
Right.
You don't want to transition or nothing like that.
Right.
And we've even had talks in the past of you wanting to carry a child and stuff. You know, I'd always be like, now that's going to be weird to see you big and pregnant.
Right. Yeah. I think, yeah, that's important. Because, like, I do see myself as a woman, too. And I think it, like, being your guys' friends and being friends with the girls, like, I was torn, like, as if I'm not boy enough or I'm not woman enough. So it was like, I was just, like, in this middle lane where... Even, like, sometimes I just remember, like, some of the boys would be dating some of the girls. And I'm not going to say the name because we don't mess with him no more. But he was like, dude, you always go and run back and tell the girl stuff. And I'm like, and then I was like, man, I was doing that. Like, because I was trying to be, like, the peacemaker in between. But I was like, no, like, the boys' conversation is the boys'. The girls' conversation is the girls'. And so, like, I knew both information. I just couldn't say anything
and
to either side.
I think I speak for me and all the guys that was part of our crew growing up. Like, no one looked at you as a girl.
Yeah.
So, like, we wouldn't even think to be talking, like, when we're talking about boy shit, you know, like, oh, be careful. Bria's in the room. Like, she's a girl. Like, no, there was some talk. You know? Like,
yeah. Some of the situation. And, like, I think that's, I was like, yeah, this isn't my conversation or, like, yeah. And I think also, like, being a part of that crew, like, even as I'm older, I'm just like, when we're around a group of guys and they're just like gawking at women, and I'm just like, dude, we're making this female uncomfortable walking by as there's a group of five men just staring at her. Like, that's not comfortable for that woman. And some people would be like, she likes it. No, not every woman likes that attention like that. It can be intimidating. And some people just want to walk down the street.
Yeah.
And so, like, I feel like some situations, it's just like my womanhood comes out now, especially that I'm adult. And like you said, I'm just owning my identity now. Like, growing up, I didn't own who I was. Like, as a woman, I was like, with you guys, I'm like, yeah, I am a bro, but like now it's like I am a woman. I'm just a part of the bros group too. Like, I definitely hold all of my identity and who I represent in every space that I am nowadays unapologetically.
Absolutely.
And I feel like some people have adjusted to the new me, but some people are still like, this, I want the old Bria back or the old Bear back. And that's just not who I am anymore.
And I think had we not been raised completely from birth, there would have been some moments as you were stepping into your full who you were as an adult that we could have went on different paths.
Yeah.
But we were so locked in because it's been some, you know, me and you've had some conversations and there's been some trials and tribulations of just adjusting to becoming adults and actually walking into our full purpose and what we believe, what you believe, like, and with that being said, it's like, I've never judged or anything, but there's always just been some disagreements that we've had to just accept that, like, this is who we are. I love you for who you are. You love me for who I am. And we're going to just agree to disagree because we ain't getting to the bottom of that one, you know?
What disagreements do you think that we've had that it's just like, it's just, we're not on the same page.
You probably don't even realize it, but you always trying to call me homophobic. Like, bro, I'm not homophobic, bro.
Well, I wouldn't say you're homophobic. Like,
you threw it in there a few times though. Like,
let's talk about it. So, as a straight man of color too, I feel like the community, straight men of color as a whole, may have some tendencies to say things or do things to the queer community that's not safe for us. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
All right. So,
and sometimes we don't realize that we're even saying things in a way that might hurt or come off as disrespectful to the queer community. Absolutely.
Yeah. So with that, what is something that as a straight man of color, what are you doing to make spaces for the queer community?
So, you know, it's been rocky for me because you've witnessed it, trying to put myself in those situations mm-hmm. in the past, and I've had unfortunate situations happen to me, and that's why I understand how it feels now as a female. Like when you say things like, you know, we're gawking at a female and she gets uncomfortable, I can put myself in that position and understand how that female's thinking now, because I've had it happen to me from gay men mm-hmm. trying to put myself in these situations with you and other family members, you know, going to gay bars and stuff, and I get uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I know I have my eyes, you know, I have very pretty eyes. My eyelashes stand out, and I don't want to toot my own horn, but I get told I look good a lot. So mm-hmm. going into places, I would always be like, bro, I'm going to get hit on. I don't like that, you know? And I think you had to witness it for yourself to understand what I was always meaning by that. So now that I understand more that I maybe just need to not put myself in certain situations if I don't want to be uncomfortable around them. And I think that kind of gets the blurry line mm-hmm. of like you thinking, well, there's maybe a tendencies of homophobia or something, but it's really just I've had situations that made me uncomfortable, and it'd mm-hmm. be like a girl walking through a place that's all boys, you know what I mean? And she's like, I'm never walking down that road again. Like, yeah. Them boys was catcalling me, one groped me, all that, you know? And so yeah.
Let's talk about that situation, because to give context to what happened. So Deontay and I, he's been to a few gay clubs with me before this specific incident happened. So you were okay with like going into that space. And we were at this bar here in Wichita. And
we got to rewind. Because remember, I didn't want to go that night.
I don't remember you didn't want to go.
I didn't want to go, and me and you got into a big debate in front of everyone, and you're like, bro, it's not going to be like that. People aren't going to do that. Trust me.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, you know what? I'm going to go.
Yeah.
I'm going to go.
Yeah. And so we go, and we're in this bar. Like, to get to the bar's not that wide to get to the bathroom. It's like a little hallway that you have to walk by. We're standing at the bar to get a drink, and a man walks by and rubs and feels on Deontay as he's going to the bathroom.
He gropes me.
And you had said something, and I
started tripping.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. I look at you and you see it in my face. You know, I was ready to fight.
Yeah.
Like, I understand women can't necessarily, if that happens from a man to a woman, not all women feel safe enough to fight for themselves.
Yeah.
But in that moment, I was ready to fight. And right. So I was torn on what to do.
Yeah. And so I was, we had said something, and then the bartender said something that has sat with me like for a long time still. And I'm sure with you, he's like, you're in a gay bar. What do you expect? And I'm just like, like he said beforehand, I'm like, they're not going to do that to you. We're not expecting to get groped anywhere we go.
Right.
Like, that's not an expectation.
And the bartender didn't just say it.
Yeah.
Just like that. He's like,
rude about it.
He was very rude and aggressive about it.
Yeah.
You're in a gay bar. What the hell do you expect?
Yeah.
You know, and that's lived with me for a long time.
Yeah. Definitely, I wanted to punch him in the face. And I had your back in that situation in that moment, too. Like, that's not what we expect. We don't expect to come to a bar or any place to get groped on, whether we're in a gay bar, a straight bar, anything. So I like that is very inappropriate. And like I now understand, like, this is why you won't ever go to a gay bar with me again because of that situation. And I don't.
And I wouldn't say that I wouldn't ever again, but
yeah.
I've definitely had my reserves about it, you know.
Yeah.
I've definitely been on reserve about putting myself in those situations moving forward because that statement lives in my head.
Yeah. Like, how can you, as a straight man of color, what do you think, or why do you think it is important to create safe spaces for the LGBTQ community, even though you're not a part of it?
I definitely think that I hear a lot of talk behind closed doors as a straight man, mm-hmm. you know, and I definitely don't think it's safe for every gay person to just be in every place with straight men because of the way society has projected that this is such a bad thing. Mm-hmm. You know, like growing up with you and learning more and more about you, I've been able to understand that like that past generation has a what's the word I'm looking for? They like, you know, that they're tainted from the prior generations, and mm-hmm. and there's a bad judgment that gay people are bad people, or that gay people aren't people, mm-hmm. and that's false. And so that's why I definitely believe there should be a space to where you guys can go and feel as comfortable as possible, not have to feel like you are out of place, even though you're not, because at the end of the day, we're all human. Mm-hmm. Anywhere we go, we're all human, you know? And so you shouldn't have to feel uncomfortable anywhere you go, but the unfortunate facts of today's society is that's why the LGBTQ community was started, was to make awareness that, like, these people are getting put out and put into a box that they're not the normal human being, or they're sick. I see people say that they're mentally ill or they're mentally sick, and that shit pisses me off. Because, bro, you ain't mentally ill at all. Like,
yeah. So in those spaces of, like, when I'm not around, how do you protect or stand up for LGBTQ people?
The biggest argument I get in with people all the time is that gay people aren't born gay. Mm-hmm. And that's bullshit. Like, yes, they are.
Yeah.
You, like, I've known, before I knew what gay was, I knew you were gay.
Yeah.
Before I even knew what it was. Like, I was raised knowing that you, like I said, I always thought you were supposed to be a boy. I knew you were going to like girls before I knew what lesbians was like. Mm-hmm. Our other we've had other family members that he was born gay. It's obvious. You could look at pictures when he was 4 or 5 years old, and he looked very gay in that picture, you know, like. And so I've always went to bat in closed doors that you motherfuckers don't understand. Like, y'all don't get it. People are definitely born gay. I definitely think there's some people that might not necessarily be born gay and just wanted to explore sexual acts and other sexual tendencies and tried things and liked it and was like, okay. Mm-hmm. But I definitely believe, I know for a fact you were born gay, so you can't tell me that people aren't born gay. Like, yeah. And my argument's always been, because I know a man that like only fat women. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So he was just, what, you put a skinny chick in front of him, he ain't fucking with her.
Yeah.
You put a fat girl in front of her, I heard him one time, this was Troy. I heard Troy say this when I was like 12 years old. He was like, if she ain't 400 pounds or heavier, I don't want her. Like, yeah. He was born like that. That's his natural attraction. And that's what I've always said is, when you're born gay, and in my opinion is, you naturally were born attracted to the same sex. Mm-hmm. So I've always went to bat behind closed doors on that. There's definitely some talks behind closed doors that I hear that I sometimes just sit out of, because I don't want to get into that argument. I don't want to get into that debate. And I just let people's fucked up opinion or flawed opinion flow. And I note that in my head. That person's very judgmental, you know?
Yeah.
And I just move forward. I pick and choose my battles for them conversations. I definitely do. Because I just don't even want to engage in that energy. That's really what it gets down to, is I don't want to engage in that energy. I don't want to exhaust too much of my energy into that.
Mm-hmm. And so how can you, what would you tell someone who is trying to be a support for someone in the LGBTQ community?
Be open-minded. Don't judge. Maybe take a second to think before you speak on opinions. And I think the biggest thing is, like I said, be open-minded. I can be open-minded. I don't judge, but I choose not to engage in too much arguments or debates on behalf of the LGBTQ community.
Mm-hmm. What would you, knowing now what you know, would, is there anything that you would change? Anything that you would do differently in like our story wise?
Honestly, nah. I know like the outing thing has always been a talk, but obviously that didn't fuck anything up with our friendship. You know, it didn't change anything. And like I said, I just wanted the world to know who I knew. Yeah. Like, it wasn't no malicious act or anything like that. And like I said, I didn't even know it was supposed to be a secret like that until that happened. So, no, honestly, I wouldn't, because maybe I would have never actually grown into understanding that people have those secrets or don't want to be outed or don't want people to know had I not did that for you, you know? Mm-hmm. Had you just went along with the flow and that's what it was, who knows? I might have outed a lot of more people in their life, you know what I mean? And that's not my place to do that.
Yeah.
So, no, I wouldn't. I'm glad it was my best friend that didn't affect anything with us and didn't affect you too bad. And I was able to learn that lesson with my best friend rather than somebody I might, who knows what that could do, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if that was someone else, who knows the hurt that could have caused in their life or anything, so.
Yeah. And although, like, we're still friends and, like, we've moved past that in the moment, but that was hurtful. Like, as you said, like, you outing me, going and crying into another room, like, knowing that you just outed me, I feel like it was hurtful for me, too, for you to do that, and you did it multiple times. So it was like, even after that moment, it was still done. So I think it is important for people to know, like, when someone gets outed, it's not about you. It's not about whoever's outing the person, whether you want the world to know or not. It's not your story to tell. And
absolutely,
I feel like when the time is right, they will say something. But like you said, we didn't even know what it was. I just knew it wasn't supposed to be right. So that's why, like, I wasn't okay with saying it.
I knew, like, for me, that's all I knew for you.
Yeah.
And so that's why, rather, I didn't know in your head that you felt like this isn't supposed to be right. Because for me, this is what this is. This is what this has always been. This is what this is. She's always been one of the boys. Now she's admitting to liking girls. I need y'all to know who the fuck my best friend is, nigga. You know, yeah. So that's really where that was. And even moving forward, I don't think I publicly outed you ever again after that. But it was to people, like I would tell people, Bria has a crush on her. Bria kissed her, stuff like that. And so I think I did apologize then when you would get mad. But like I said, it was never a malicious act, you know, it was truly just wanting people to know who I knew because I loved you for you and I didn't judge you and I didn't think anyone else was going to judge you.
Yeah.
And they didn't. It was just, you needed to be ready.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like the core foundation that I have, none of them has judged me for who I am, but I feel like, as we know, the world and everything around us says otherwise. Just everything is straight made and tied to a man and a woman. So that is why I was so blocked off of expressing who I was truly. But now, as you guys see, I'm creating this podcast. I'm doing other things to make it more aware and more okay. And although you aren't comfortable with, like, speaking up for the community as a whole, if you and I were out in public and you, I, or Tyrone were out in public and someone said slurs, would you defend?
Or... Nah, you already know. Yeah. It's up.
Yeah.
It's so, on go.
Yeah,
you know?
I feel like they needed to know that, because although you're not speaking behind closed doors, which it's hard, like, there's a lot of things, like, I do it too. Like, if it doesn't identify with me, I'll actually say something more than not.
I just pick and choose my battles, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. So I understand why, but I think it's important for the viewers to know, like, it, when it came down to it, if it came down to it, you would be.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If anyone's coming at anybody around me, I would fight for a person I didn't know if they were being disrespected or belittled and they were backed into a corner and they have no help.
Right.
And I'm right there because I know right from wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is still a human being.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, this is still a human being. It's not about the racial slurs or anything. It's about you talking down to another human being like you are higher than them, like you are better than them, and you're causing hurt to them, and I'm not going to witness that in front of me.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is why we still remain friends, is just because of, like, now as we're getting older, like, you see my identities, you're understanding it, and we do have talks, and We're open with communication when we don't agree on something. Like, we agree on a lot of things, but, like, when we don't agree, like, we are open to that and communication.
Accept, yeah. Yeah. And it is what it is. Yeah. It's not going to change my opinion of you, or I'm not judging you. It doesn't change my love for you.
Yeah.
We just disagree on that.
Yeah. And, like, but morally, we agree on the things.
At the core.
At the core, like you said, we're all human. So I feel like, yeah, that was just important for the viewers to know that you are a great person. Like I said, you didn't mean to out me in the ways that you did. I know it was just, I'm your best friend.
It was out of love. Yeah. Honestly, it was truly, like, at the core, it was out of love.
Yeah.
I wanted everyone to know who I knew.
Yeah.
How did you feel? We've never talked about that. Mm-hmm. How did you truly feel, like, in the moment when I outed you? Did you feel betrayed?
Well, I was, like, I didn't say it was a secret. Like, don't tell anybody. But I didn't want anyone else to know. Like,
and you know, you actually did. Now that I remember, you didn't say don't tell people. But you did say don't tell anyone, but I kiss. You know? Yeah. And so it was like, don't tell anyone, but I kissed her.
Yeah.
And then I told people that, like, you got a crush on a girl, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't tell anyone that you kissed that girl, but I did tell them you probably had a crush.
Yeah. And I don't think I was hurt. I just went into a shell. Like,
I think you were more embarrassed.
Yeah. Every time it happened, I just, like, instantly went into a shell, like, denied.
Immediately. Denied. No, he's lying. He's lying. He used to tell people.
Denied.
Lying.
Yeah, definitely. Each time I would deny. Yeah, like I said, I would always just deny it. I didn't think that you were, like, and like I said, we still remained friends every time, like, you did it. And I wasn't ever upset or mad. I would just deny. Because I knew it was true. And it kind of, like, help me see people's reaction, like, when you would say, without me saying it, like, oh, he said it, but let me just see how they'll react type.
And no one ever acted surprised.
Yeah. But I had other people that knew the girl that I kissed, like, she would always come up to me and just be like, dude, just tell him. And
she was always so pure and open-minded.
Yeah.
As kids, you know, like, she really made you feel real comfortable.
Yeah.
Early.
100%. Yeah. And so I just think when my mom and I were talking, it was just like, being a black woman in that town was already hard enough. And then just to be a queer black woman, like, it was just a lot of layers. It's just like, this one I can hide. This identity I can hide. And
do you think because of the town we were growing up in and you wanting to feel accepted and impress all of the white community that supported you in your athleticism and sports and all that, do you think it was more so you were worried about what they would judge or their feelings for you?
It wasn't even just them. It was my grandma, too. Like, my grandma played a huge role in it. Like, you know, I was pretty much lived with her my entire life. So, I think.
And she was very religious.
Right. So, like, I didn't want to... Me and my grandma were so close, so I just didn't know how that would feel. I don't think I really thought too much in it on that, like, the my teenage wife. I don't think
you
I...
You went so night and day when you came out. Like,
yeah.
You did.
But I also was, like, already a tomboy. Like, I wore all the clothes, like... My outfits didn't change or anything. Like, I, on dress up days in middle school, I was in masculine clothes. So, yeah. It like.
What was Nelly's clothing line? You used to have all of them damn jeans. She had all Nelly posters. She wore all Nelly's jeans.
Yeah. So, like, the outside, like, I was still expressing my identity from the outside. I just. And then you and I on the weekends, like the groups that we were hanging out with, they knew,
yeah,
like since middle school. So it wasn't like I was hiding it from the world. I feel like slowly people were getting like the understanding of like, okay, this is who she is. I think
it was obvious when we started playing football and you was running niggas over and was the leading star player for fucking 3 or 4 years straight on the team. Like, yeah. I feel like all the parents at that point was like, she's a boy. Like, yeah. She one of the boys, you know?
I mean, they thought I was, so I took my helmet off. And, but like, that's the thing with being a part of the community. Like, those aren't necessarily tell signs for everybody. So it's like, there's a lot of girls playing football these days that aren't a part of the community. They just love the sport of football.
Yeah.
So
now,
yeah,
now,
yeah,
then that wasn't the case,
right? Yeah,
and there was even, only one other girl I remember, yeah, Allie.
It's like, even today, like when girls wear masculine clothing, it doesn't mean that they're gay, but for me, that was just how I identified, and like that's just me still to this day, like that's just who I am as a person, and I don't know. When I don't even know when the turning point of when it was like, okay, let me just say it.
Yeah.
But I just remember
it was high school.
It was my senior year, right before senior year, and
I think it was because your pops was really running through shit, so you've seen that because he was. I think just the outside looking in. I think having your pops back in your life and around at that point. And just seeing his love for women made you feel more comfortable to express your natural love and attraction for women.
Yeah. I mean, that definitely could have played a part into it because he was the first parent that I told. Like, I told him first, like, I confided in him. But
And think about that. Like, he wasn't even around all throughout life like that for you to feel that comfortable, you know,
right,
like,
yeah,
that says a lot.
Yeah. Let my mom tell it. She's still upset about it. But yeah, I think that I was done. Like, I knew I was about to be out of there. I think that played a part into it. I knew I was about to be away from them. And so, yeah, I don't know what it was that I was just like, okay, it is what it is.
What point, do you remember, like, the earliest time you, in your head, was like, I don't like guys. I don't like the norm. I'm not like the norm. I think I like girls. At what point did you know in your head that...
I think it would have been, like, my senior year of high school. Like, I was like, okay, I'm not attracted to boys. Because, like...
Yeah, you tried.
I genuinely liked Corey. I want to get that shirt. Like, Corey... I have love for you. Like, I really did. And because after we had the talk with my mom, Corey was like, oh, you knew since you were in sixth grade? I was like, well, wait a second. I did know that I liked girls then, but that didn't mean that I was like,
you liked Corey, but were you attracted to him?
Yeah, I was attracted to Corey. Like, and I just, but it, there was always something off. Like,
so y'all got to hear this story. I already knew that Bria was full gay.
Oh my gosh.
And so in seventh grade, she's dating this boy, Corey. And Corey, me I'm being sorry. The antagonizing ass little nigga I was a big instigator, big antagonizer as a kid, big time. And we were at a football game, and I was leaving. I told Bria bye, and I gave her a hug, and he was like, "Don't hug my girlfriend." So I was like, "Nigga, I'll kiss her." So I ran up and gave her a kiss. Like, I just was like, and stole it. And so he wanted to fight me, and we ended up fighting at the football game over me kissing his girlfriend. Yeah. But little did he know, I already knew she wasn't fucking with him like that. Me and Corey hella cool now. We was kids, but we sure did fight about that shit. That shit was funny.
Yeah, that, looking back on it now, it is hilarious. But I just feel like I was like, okay, finally, I'll just do it. I don't know what. I remember I was upstairs in my grandma's room when I initially called two people. I called both of them because they have the loudest mouths. And I literally was like, I'm gay. I knew the next morning when I went to school, it would spread. And by golly. And I told Corey. I had told Corey that night too, because I didn't want him to hear from anybody else. But that next day, it was out. No one ever came up to me and was like,
it wasn't what you thought it was going to be. No,
yeah, at all. And
you know, I will say, I bet you another thing that helped leading up to that, because all through high school, you was low-key messing with another female. But it wasn't like a full-on relationship.
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking
but
about.
But you was in love with this female, and y'all had relations, you know.
Yeah.
Leading up to your senior year, it was just super secretive.
Yeah.
And I kept that secret for you.
Yeah, you did. You had to let that be known. Yeah. You outed me enough.
And that was on and off all through high school. Mm-hmm. Like, even us coming in, because she was in my grade, you're a grade higher. I remember us coming into high school.
Yeah.
Like, at school, it was a secret, but when we was behind closed doors outside of school.
Yeah,
so sure. I'm sure that helped a lot, just definitely. You getting more comfortable, because your sophomore, junior, and senior year, behind closed doors, you're getting more comfortable with exploring your sexuality.
Yeah. Right, yeah. I agree with that. Like, I don't know, like, sometimes I just, like, be blocking things out. Like, so now that you say that, like, I do remember, I was, like, interacting with her a lot during high school and stuff.
But and had you been out, you guys probably would have been in a full-on relationship.
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah. Because the only reason you didn't make that girl your girlfriend was because you was in a closet.
Thank God.
With her. In a closet with her.
Yeah. Thank God. Yeah, no. Definitely. No, I think that does play a big role in it, because I was like, with you and like other people, I was open and honest with like my identity and who I was. But yeah, with other certain groups, it just wasn't spoke about. Like, and it wasn't like I turned on and off a key. I was still just like myself. I just didn't express, like, if they're talking about boys, I'm not partaking in the conversation.
Yeah.
Like, if you picked up on that, then you picked up on that. But of course, when we're talking about girls, they're not talking about girls in a way that I'm thinking of.
Girls. Another question I got for you. Do you feel like your relationship with your female friends from high school changed after you started fully walking in your purpose and sexuality?
Yes and no. They didn't treat me any differently at all. I just feel like the conversations that they want to talk about versus I want to talk about are different.
Do you feel like any of them started ever wondering, well, was she looking at me like this the whole time or anything like that?
I feel like I was always, like, in the locker room, I would go to a stall and change. Like, I was very
reserved,
aware of what I liked and didn't like. So, like, I would go, like, I was always in a stall to change. Like,
really, but did any of them walk around open in front of you or anything like that?
No, like, we were all reserved in our locker. Like, it wasn't, we didn't take showers and stuff like that. Like, NPE, like, there's stalls and there's curtains and stuff like that. So, and when I would change behind the curtain, don't know. I was really reserved. It's probably because I wasn't really comfortable with my body at all, too. So that's probably also why. But there was never a moment where I was checking them out or anything like that at all. And I don't think that they, like, my senior year, like, nothing changed. Like, during sports, we changed the same way. Like, yeah, in the same locker room and stuff like that. It wasn't like they tried to hide or anything from me now knowing. So it was normal. Like, I didn't give off creepy vibes at all. And I think they know that I'm not attracted to them, like, in that way. Like, they know they are just my friends. So I don't think that they felt any way, but I'll have to ask them, like, what they actually thought. But from my perspective, nothing changed. So, because, like I said, I came out before my senior year. So that entire senior year, we still had, and even, like, our senior party, we did it together. So we were still still are a close group of girls. Like, we do things every now and then. So,
yeah,
I don't think that changed the perspective of me. But I'm glad that didn't change my experience too with them. Like, I was a little deep down worried, like, what they would think of my situation and who I was, but they didn't treat me any differently at all, which was nice. Like,
yeah,
looking back on it, like, my story and, like I said, my core foundation of people who I've always surrounded myself with, none of them changed. Like, if anything, I think a few of them, we got closer after that moment. And, like, even being a black woman, I was the only black woman in that group.
Yeah.
So I feel like I have that side of it to me is more like having to express this as a person than being gay.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's harder to relate with them being a black woman than it is being a gay woman.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think that's why that's why I'm like, the identity of being a black woman was enough. Like, being gay, like, that's, they're used to, like, a lot of people being gay.
Yeah.
In that town.
Yeah.
But
being, like, truly black,
yeah,
was definitely a different, yeah, time.
Yeah. And I don't know if you, like, realize I was the only black woman of my skin complexion that graduated with our graduating class. There was a few mixed in Calhoun. Jay Calhoun was the only black of his complexion that graduated in our class.
Really?
Yeah. So there was light skins. There was Keon, you know,
Johnny
and Josh and
But I never realized that. That's crazy.
Yeah. It is, and that's why I say, like, it was harder to be a black woman in that town than it was to be a queer woman, for sure. Just
we actually witnessed a lot of girls being, like, gay.
Right, exactly.
As kids.
Yeah.
Like, I remember.
The older class
girls. There was a few predators. I ain't finna hold back. Them girls were predators.
Yeah, they were.
They were preying on them little young girls.
Yeah.
But we seen that, and so I think
even seeing it, like, I still didn't feel comfortable with, like, expressing myself, and letting it be known that I'm. But yeah, like, it was definitely easier to identify as being a queer woman in that town than it was being a black woman. It all worked out, though. Like I said, my group of friends and family that are at my core, they all still love me for who I am and didn't change at all. So I'm very blessed in that aspect.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm glad it all played out how it did. And I've always loved you, and my love ain't never changed for you. And
yeah,
I'm happy that the world gets to experience the real you now.
Yeah. And I appreciate our friendship. Like, nobody, no, I won't say nobody, but rarely there's a friendship like ours where we're literally raised together.
Yeah.
Like, when we say day one, it's day one.
Yeah.
Like,
I was 2 months old. You were 11 months old when our moms moved in together, you know?
So
that's as day one as it gets, you know? And I often tell people, like, there's no amount of money that could ever make me feel as rich as I feel with the friendship I have with you and Johnny.
Yeah.
Like, and that's full facts. Like,
yeah.
I'm so grateful and I'm so rich in spirit because of my friendships that I have. There's no amount of money that could ever make me feel richer than that.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah. I am grateful as well. We're all three completely different personality wise. And it just, we just still mesh. Like at our core, like you are my best friend. Like I said, my brother. And I appreciate you coming onto this podcast. And
I appreciate you having me.
Yeah.
Letting me tell my story.
Yeah. You are an important part of my story, like I said earlier. And in my coming out journey, and just some people wouldn't agree with how you pushed, but you did push me to just
walk fully in who you were.
Yeah. And I don't know if you would have kept nudging and just saying it if I would have came out when I did, or if I would have just kept it a secret the entire time. So I am thankful that I came out when I did, and it wasn't late any later, because having people like you just and
making people, you feel comfortable with being who you really are.
Right. Yeah.
And it's funny because that's who I am and how I am. That's one thing I've learned about myself as I've gotten older, is that like I naturally want people to just be themselves, and I nudge and I push people to truly walk in who they are.
Yeah.
Rather if it gets uncomfortable for them or not. I've noticed that like some people kind of look at me as being hard on them, but it's like, no, you're not being yourself. Just be yourself. Like I want you to be yourself. I want the world to know who I know.
Yeah.
Why can't the world know who you are like I do, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's a thin line for me, because some people can really take my nudging the wrong way, but it's really all out of just for the better of that person and for the world, you know, because I feel that the world needs more genuine people. We're living in such a masked time in today's life. You know, so many people are masking so much stuff that it's hard for them to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And when you fully just accept who you are and walk in your purpose and be your full self 110%, the anxiety drops.
Yeah.
Like the anxiety, the stress levels, you get so much more happy from just being who you are and living your truth. And so that's why I push people to live their fullest truth.
Yeah. And I can attest to that. Like I definitely became just happier with who I am. And when I did finally say the words, like, I am a lesbian. So, yeah, I feel like it is. And if anyone is watching this and...
the world's going to watch it one day. Yeah, it's going to have millions of views one day.
If you're watching this and you may have, like, a friend and an ally and you've told them, I think it is important for you to tell that person, like, this is my story, and please don't tell anybody else. Like,
absolutely.
I'm confiding in you, and I just want you to know this. But as you're telling the person, just like Deontay was for me, he just allowed me to be myself in those spaces. And I didn't have to hide when I was around you or be someone else. And that helped me in my journey so much, of just being able to express who I am fully in your space. So I just appreciate you as a friend, as a brother, that you gave me that opportunity to express who I am, being a Black woman of color who is also queer. Like, it's a lot. So yeah, I just appreciate you being that person for me, and I do love you so much. And
absolutely,
thank you again for joining me on this podcast. And
I'm glad that I was able, that what could be viewed as a negative situation was actually a positive situation for you.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for that.
Yeah. I just, again, appreciate you so much. And thank you guys.
Appreciate you having me.
Yes. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Queen Talk. Please make sure you like, subscribe, comment if you enjoyed it. comment if you've been in the same situation or have some tips.
If you know anyone that needs to watch this, that might take something from this, send it to them. Share this with anyone. If it pops in your head, oh, someone else should see this, this person should hear this, send that to them. I want this to be a healing video for a lot of people too.
Yeah. Like I said, thank you for tuning in. Family, friends, strangers, love. Be nice.